Welcome to Season 2 of the BaseCS Podcast, where we explore the basics of computer science concepts. I'm your host, Saran, founder of Code Newbie.
And I'm Vaidehi Joshi, author and developer.
And she is the brilliant mind behind the BaseCS blog series. Today, we're talking about
Cues.
This season of BaseCS is brought to you by DevDiscuss. DevDiscuss is a show I work on with the team at Dev, an international supportive community for developers. The show addresses the many burning topics that pop up on Dev every day, and is hosted by Jess Lee and Ben Halper, two of Dev's co-founders. Past episodes have included unpopular opinions with Kelsey Hightower, staff developer advocate at Google Cloud and a legendary voice in tech.
So an unpopular opinion should be like, computers were a mistake. Was was this all worth it?
And how changing your name is a difficult, unsolved, and sometimes personally devastating problem in tech.
I basically walk through this world, through this minefield of not knowing when I'm going to have this like sort of deep emotional wound reopened.
As well as how little known tools can have big productivity gains.
And I think it gives me the sense of structure, which I really enjoy. And also you can color code different things.
Each episode features interesting guests from diverse backgrounds who are active in the software space. This podcast is your place for burning tech questions, answers, and genuine conversations. And we also end each episode with commentary from the everyday developers who call Dev home.
You'd be surprised how many things making music and coding have in common.
True to the Dev community, DevDiscuss wouldn't be possible without the input from all of you. So listen, rate, and subscribe to DevDiscuss wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, so when was the first time that you heard about cues?
Oh, man. Well, the first time I think I stumbled upon a cue, I didn't really know where I was going with it. Like, I didn't know that I was talking about a cue, and I was like basically describing it. Maybe a couple years ago, there was a job interview that I was in. It was like a pretty chill interview, and it was just like me and the CTO, and we were chatting, and I didn't write any code, but he just kind of like asked me very technical questions that were kind of vague. And one of the questions that he asked me was whether I was familiar with the concept of like jobs,
yeah,
and like workers and scheduling. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I know jobs. I know scheduling. What about it?
I got some jobs, made some schedules.
I've done some work. And he was like, okay, cool. So how do you think that's like implemented in Rails, because this is like a mostly Rails position that I was working in, or interviewing for, rather. How do you think Rails does that? And I was like, what? I mean, I type some code and I type something specific and it happens. And he was like, well, how do you like think it works under the hood? And I was like, I don't know. I've never looked at the code. Like, I've never looked at the source code for Rails for that. But I was like, well, if I had to guess, they probably just have like, you know, an array of jobs. I don't know what a job looks like, but it's probably like an array of jobs. And then it just like goes through, maybe it iterates through the array, or it like just picks up one job, the first one on the list, and it does it. And then it does the next one, and it does the next one. And I was like, maybe it's that? That shrug emoji?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I mean, you're pretty close. Like, that is basically what it is doing. And I didn't know it, but I was basically describing how cues work under the hood.
Nice.
Now I know about it, and I'm like, oh, it is really that simple, with some extra, you know, layers of complexity. But like, that's really what it is under the hood.
Did you pass the interview?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
And then I ended up working there for almost a year.
Yeah. Good job. That's awesome. I also want to point out just how weird I think the word cue looks visually.
It's so hard to spell.
It really is. It's just trying to be difficult.
It's Q-U-Q-E-U-E. Yes. Two E's, two U's. The U always comes before the E, and then there's an S in there, maybe.
No, there's no, Q. No, there's no S. Well,
no, there's
if,
a Q.
If there's,
no, it's Q's.
If it's plural, there's an S, yes.
But you know, I'm just throwing in letters. It's fine.
Just J's, Z's, you know. Whatever you got, just throw them in.
The silent X. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Learn something new every day on the BaseCS podcast. yes. Okay. So let's get into the technical parts of the cue. So in the blog post for the BaseCS blog series, you describe it as a linear abstract data type.
So I think a good place to start is to like break that down a little bit. What is a linear abstract data type?
If we think about just what we mean when we say linear, one of the things we've talked about in prior episodes, in actually season one of the BaseCS podcast, was what on earth a linear data structure is. And a linear data structure is like, I think about it as like a game of hopscotch, where in order to get to one end, you have to go through all of the things in between. So arrays and linked lists are examples of linear data structures because they have a beginning and an end. And there's this concept of like an order. It's not just like things are connected in any way. There's like kind of the first item and the next item. And in order to get to like the item at the end, you have to go through all the items that come before it, kind of like a game of hopscotch. So that's what the linear really means. So the abstract data type part of linear abstract data type tells us that a queue can be kind of implemented in different ways, but it's the behavior that really matters, not necessarily the thing we use to implement it. So in a previous episode, we've talked about the stack structure, which is also an abstract data type. Say that three times fast. You can implement it in different ways, but the idea is that it has these certain characteristics and a behavior to it. And like you can choose different tools to implement it, but the thing that makes a stack is its behavior. So similarly, a queue has certain behaviors and rules that it follows in order for it to actually be a queue. And that's what makes it an abstract data type. You can implement it in different ways, but it has to follow those rules no matter which way you choose to implement it.
Okay, so you're right. We've totally talked about the linear abstract data type before. I think I don't remember exactly what episode it was, but definitely season one when you're talking about stacks. So are queues and stacks related?
They kind of are related. You could maybe look at two of them and, you know, maybe represent two of them and think about them in similar ways. But in some ways, they're very, very much opposites because they behave differently. And another reason that a lot of times in like computer science courses, they're kind of taught at the same time is because a lot of the times people will use a linked list to implement it, or they'll think about representing it with an array. So the tools and, you know, the different structures that you might use to implement both a stack and a queue are similar. So it kind of makes sense to teach them at the same time. But they behave very differently. And that's kind of like how you can decide when you might want to use one or the other.
So when you talked about how sometimes they can be the opposite, what is a way that they are the opposite?
That's a great question. So let's quickly recap how stacks work.
Okay.
A stack is kind of like a stack of books, for example, right? Where you can only add things one on top of the other, if you think about it visually, like a stack of books. And so with a stack, the last thing that you put into a stack is the first thing that has to come out. So if I have a stack of books, the last book that I put on the top of the stack is the first thing that comes out. And this kind of ties into one of the important principles of stacks, which is last in, first out, or LIFO. And what's important about that is if the last thing is the first thing out, it basically means you can only ever remove and add things from one end of the stack, right? You can't go and put something at the other end. Like if you want to add something, if you want to remove something, it can only happen from one end of the stack, which is why I like to kind of think about a stack as like something that's vertical, whereas a queue, it's kind of like if you took a stack and turned it sideways. A great example of this is like when you stand in a line. A line is a queue. But a queue is different than a stack in that now, if you're not thinking about it as like a vertical thing where you can only access one end, you've turned it on its head. And now suddenly you have two ends. But you can't just like put things on either end of the queue. When I go to a bagel shop, I have to like take a number, whatever my number is. Like that's the number I get called in. I can't just like show up and be like, hey, I'm in the front of the line. Sorry, suckers. No one's getting their scallion cream cheese today. It's just me. I have to wait for my turn. And if I'm the first person in the line for bagels that morning, I'm the first one who's going to get served. I'm the first one to get those bagels. So queues follow a different principle. They follow something called the first in, first out principle.
FIFO.
Totally. FIFO. You know, you have one end that is going to be the end that is like accessible, the end that's going to be like served or processed, or the item that you can kind of pull out. And then you have the other end, which is the back of the queue, the back of the line, which is where you can add things.
Oh.
And that's like how you can think about how a stack and queue are different, in that a stack, everything happens only at one end, but a queue, two very different things happen at two very different ends of the structure.
One of the things that I just love about this podcast and talking to you is finding out that these things that are so normal and everyday are computer science concepts. You know, like the idea of a line, like even when you were talking about like you're at a deli shop and you grab a ticket, like everybody does that. Mm-hmm. Like everyone has experienced that. But that's like a thing in computer science. It's a concept that has names and structure and all kinds of stuff. So I just find that so fascinating.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because computer science just like borrows from real life in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it borrows from math and it borrows from like logic and it borrows from just some other design principles that you're like, oh,
mm-hmm.
this just exists in the world already. Yeah. We're just using it for computers.
Yeah.
Like we talked about binary in a previous episode and like we used a metaphor of turning a switch on and off to like send electrical signals one way or another. And that's just like a very simple thing, right? It's mm-hmm. just like an on and off switch. But it's used in a whole different way. And then we don't think about it with ones and zeros, how it works that way. So queues are kind of similar where it's like, I have to go to the DMV. And like, I understand the concept of standing in line and waiting.
Forever.
But then, yeah, literally forever. So it feels like forever. If I think about like processing things in software, a lot of things use queues. And you're like, oh, okay, it's the same concept.
Mm-hmm.
This thing has to wait in line for its turn, just like I have to wait in line in real life for my turn.
Yeah. Okay, so the difference or one of the big differences between stacks and queues are the way we interact with them. So LIFO versus FIFO, which is so cute. Like it really does sound like they're twins, like they're brother and sister or something. It's adorable. But when we're talking about stacks, we also talked about how there are ways that we interact with them using methods or functions. So how do we interact with queues?
We are usually going to deal with two main tasks when it comes to both stacks and queues, which is usually adding something or removing something. So when we were dealing with a stack, in order to add something to the stack, we were pushing something on top. And in order to remove something, we were popping it from the top.
Mm-hmm.
So with a queue, if I want to add something, I enqueue something to my queue. And what I'm really doing is I'm adding an element to the end of the queue, because that's the only place I can ever do that. And similarly, if I want to remove something, I have only one choice of what I can remove, and I can only remove it from one place. I can remove the first element from the front of the queue, which is something called dequeuing.
Ah, those aren't nearly as much fun as push and pop.
No, it's not as fun, but I mean, it's like nomenclature
works,
that shows up everywhere.
Okay, so similar methods. They do it in a different place, but they are still like technically doing the same thing, right? Removing an item or adding an item. When we talk about how we actually implement a queue for stack, we talked about how we can implement a stack either in an array or a linked list, but array has a bunch of issues, which can lead to problems like stack overflow. So generally, a linked list is preferred in terms of implementing a stack.
Mm-hmm.
What is the recommendation for a queue?
If we think about why arrays were kind of problematic with stacks, it's because like if you don't know the size of the data you're dealing with an array, and it kind of just goes across the board anytime you're dealing with an array. If you don't know what you're going to have and the size of all the items, in this case, like the size of your queue, if you don't know that beforehand, then there's a really good chance that you're not going to allocate enough memory and have enough space from the get-go to account for everything. So when mm-hmm. that happens, we have to do like the work of creating a larger size array, copying over everything, having kind of like a duplicated version of our queue, and then adding, you know, the new elements. So the same problem that we encountered with our stack using an array to implement it.
Same thing.
The same thing is going to like show up here with a queue, and almost more so because with a queue, it's highly likely you won't know how many things are going to get enqueued.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked about this yet, but when we start looking at like real world implementations of queues, you'll start to see like you just don't know how big it'll be. And then you're like, oh, how am I ever going to account for all these things ahead of time? It's kind of unknown. So the other tricky thing about arrays too is like you can't always resize an array easily, because in a queue, in order to add or remove something, you're doing it from two different ends.
Oh.
You have to go to the other end of the array and be like, all right, here's where I want to remove the thing from. And if you want to add something, you do it from the other end of the array. So you are probably doing a lot of traversing through the structure, which is, you know, if you have a huge array, it's going to take a lot of time. It's not going to be fun.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so the fact that there's, you know, a long list of items, you don't know how big the items or how big the list of items is going to be is one problem. But the other problem is there are now two ends I have to worry about and account for.
Yeah.
So there's two issues this time with using an array to implement it.
Yeah, it's the fact that, like, we need to be able to access two ends. And if we're using an array, that array is going to grow. And we're still going to have to access the two ends.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're suddenly having to go through all the elements. So
all the way to the other end.
Yes. Yeah. So the space-time complexity, the big O notation of traversing through that array could get pretty bad.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so then in that case, linked list sounds like the only other option.
It's definitely a better option sometimes because we'll recall that with linked lists, even if we don't know the size of our queue beforehand, that's okay. Because what we can do is we just need to find one empty space in memory. And we can just be like, it's okay that this item doesn't live in the same place in memory as its neighbor. Because with linked lists, if you add something, it just needs to know, who do I reference next? And so we don't need to recreate and recopy over our queue like we had to with an array. And another cool thing is within a linked list, you know how we have to account for like the beginning of the queue and the end of the queue?
And the end, yeah.
We can do something kind of clever, which is that we can keep tabs on what the beginning and the end are in our linked list. Because a linked list is like, you could have things scattered all over in different places in memory. So what we can do is we can add pointer references to the beginning of our queue and the end. And so that way, I don't need to like go through every single node in my linked list. I don't need to go through the whole queue. I know, hey, this is the beginning. The beginning lives over here in memory. And this is the end of the queue over here in memory. And now if I need to remove something, I know this is where the front is. And if I need to add something, I know, hey, the end of the queue is over here.
Yeah.
And this becomes super awesome because now instead of having to traverse through the entire queue, we basically can, in constant time, enqueue or dequeue something, which is O of one, which means if we have like 10 things in our queue or a million, it's still going to take the same amount of time to remove or add something, which is pretty handy.
Pointers in a linked list, the way that we do not have in the array, no matter how many items we have in that queue, no matter how big that queue gets, it doesn't matter. We can still just jump straight to the beginning. We can jump straight to the end because we're taking advantage of the pointers that a linked list gives us. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's we can be smart in the way that we reference it, and we can leverage the fact that linked list allows us to have these pointers. And the nice thing is, we can let the rest of the queue live wherever it wants in memory. And that's like a handy aspect of linked lists. And it's super helpful for queues because in a stack, you only need to reference one place because everything happens from the top of the stack.
Yeah.
But in a queue, it becomes twice as hard. So this makes that a little easier.
Interesting. Okay. So for a stack, we talked about how linked list is really awesome. And most of the conversation focused on the running out of space reason, right? The whole, we don't know how long it's going to be. So, you know, with a linked list, it can be however long. It's not a big deal. But with a queue, it sounds like the linked list gives us an extra, a bonus reason why it's so useful.
Yeah. The more you think about it, it starts to be like, you know, a little bit more of an obvious twist because you're like, oh, in this situation, I have like another thing to worry about, and this takes care of that problem for me almost for free.
Okay, so based on this conversation, it sounds like linked list is always the answer. Is that true?
Not entirely. I know I really just worked really hard to sell you on linked list for queues, but I do want to note that it's totally valid to use an array to implement a queue and also a stack. But what's important is knowing how many unknowns you're going to have in what you're doing. And like, you have some questions that are maybe unanswered that might help you decide, should I use an array or should I use a linked list? Because sometimes a linked list will give you certain advantages, but it's not always the best thing to use. And it can be like a little silly to do if you know the size of your queue, right? So it's not a be-all, end-all. It's not a silver bullet for solving this problem. But mm-hmm. I think sometimes we forget that there might be more than one option. So depending on what we're doing, a linked list could be great for a queue, but sometimes an array could be just fine too.
Yeah. So now that we've talked about what queues are and how we can implement them, next episode, we're going to see what they look like in real life. Also, make sure to take a listen to the Dev Discuss podcast that I help make. It's the first original podcast from Dev, a global community of software developers of all backgrounds and experience levels. And the show covers burning topics that impact the daily lives of programmers and beyond. Hosted by Dev co-founders Ben Halpern and Jess Lee.
Vaidehi, you want to say goodbye?
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.